Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the homemade broadcast live stream episode 455. My name's Will. This is Anna Hummel. There she is. Hey, Anna, how are you doing?
I've been better, but not bad.
Oh, no, that's not good. Sorry to hear that. What's up?
Well, as I told you, I think last week when we caught up, Again, I don't know the difference between a strain or a sprain, but I did one of those to my MCL.
Oh, scary.
So, not great. I've never had a knee injury before in my life. So this is new territory for me. Not happy about it, but it is what it is. So I'm icing it right now.
Bummer, man. Yeah, you told me about that. You thought you'd like somebody tore it out of its socket and you just had like a sprain. Yeah.
Yeah, had I waited to scream maybe a second or two later, it definitely would have torn. Something would have popped for sure because there was like this mounting pressure where I was like, if I don't say something, if I say something, I mean scream, something bad's going to happen to me. So I screamed, and this happened, of course, during my karate, which is also known as jiu-jitsu, and I screamed, the guy got off. And
he got off from it too. My God!
Sick, he loved it.
Sick master class.
He unmounted me essentially, and I tried to play it off like everything's okay. But when I'm in pain or I'm scared, I immediately start crying, but not like sobbing, but like my eyes get all red and watery, and tears start coming down. But I'm like, I'm fine. This is great. So, in an effort to make him feel not as bad, I tried to showcase the fact that I was fine by doing jumping jacks and high knees and stuff, you know, but knowing that things weren't great. But when I went home and the adrenaline wore off, you know, and the pain set in, I went, well, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Well, so I went to the doctor and I'm on some medication now.
Oh, anything good? Trick or treat.
No, nothing really for pain. It's mostly just for inflammation. It's just like a hardcore NSAID, like a leave sort of deal.
I don't want any of that. I was going to ask you for some, but I don't want any of that.
Like Percocet? No, I didn't get any of that. So I'm on that for the rest of the week and just icing it, elevating it, doing all the things, and hopefully it'll get better soon. So.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's a risk that you run. In the field, the sport that you're in is bound to happen sooner or later, but it's still scary. I mean, is this gonna preempt you from potentially going back? Are you gonna give up? Or are you gonna keep going?
No, I'll go back next week, you know. But I'm thinking if not next week, then hopefully the week after. But I'm itching to get back to anything. You know, I went to the gym and was waddling around. I've never been so jealous of watching people on a treadmill, you know, with their knees just fine. So no, I'm itching to get back. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's scary, but it's fun. So.
See, with you, I think, and I think you brought this up to me when we were talking about it off the air, but you're mentally ill with, as far as your nutrition, you're working out. I mean, you're very, and in a good way. I mean, it's positive because you're in great shape and you take care of your body and stuff, but you're also very militant with it. And I would imagine this would take away not only from your karate, but from just working out in general, which has got to be tough.
Yeah. So I've done back and buys for 5 days in a row now. So again, just, I can't sit still, and that's not good either. Like to just keep working out the same thing. Pretty much for the last 5 days, and today I actually went on an hour walk, but prior to this, I've been doing, back, buys, and leg, literally just leg day, just the one leg, just doing one leg.
Yeah, but then you're going to get one leg that's stronger than the other, and then you're going to be walking around with a limp.
Yeah, no, it's not smart, Will. I understand, but, like, I just don't, I need to feel like I'm making progress, even if I'm not.
I get you.
It's more of a mental game than anything, so.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, good. I'm glad you're on the mend. People are asking about it. Darth Alec was asking, how's your knee? So, I got that out of the way quick. So, yeah.
Thanks for inquiring.
Yeah. First, I want to give a shout out to Jeffrey Comfort for he bought a hoodie over at hmbradio.com/store. It's getting to be the cool season, and I own a few of these hoodies. They're very comfortable. I will say this, though, and I think people think that, you know, whenever I hear people talk about their merchandise, and I've done this too and been dubious of it, where you go, yeah, right, you're making money on this. Because the hoodies are, I mean, I try to keep it as low as I can. And unfortunately, with these third parties that do it, this drop printing or something that they call it, where you can literally do one at a time. So I don't have to put forth the initial cost to have these things printed. I mean, it's thousands and thousands of dollars if I do it for myself in bulk, which I just don't have. So they have these services, which are good, that will print them up for you based on demand. You get a sale, it goes to them, they take care of it, they ship it. It's all included in the price. And then also the web hosting that I use charged me to put that third-party shop on my website. So I walked away with a net profit from that, Jeffrey, of 95 cents. So that's after, yeah, everybody took their fees and everything. And I wanted to, I mean, it's like, I think it's like $30 for a hoodie. It's not, it's on par and it's, you know, good enough.
They're really, really nice for those that are listening.
Yeah.
Like that hoodie is my favorite hoodie.
Yeah. I wear mine all the time too. Great
fit and really nice kind of neutral color, you know, heather gray. It's nice and fleecy on the inside. It's not a cheap material, so it's good quality.
It is good quality, but you know, it's definitely not a moneymaker for me, obviously. Right. But happy to have people do that, and I appreciate you supporting Jeffrey. It's good to have that stuff there, and I'm glad people enjoy it and buy it. Those that do. It's Halloween, Anna. It's trick or treat, baby. It's time, and I know that you're a big fan of Halloween. You love it. As a matter of fact, is that true?
I don't mind it. I
thought you hated it.
For it. Huh?
I thought you hated it for some reason. No. I thought I was being facetious. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. I do have a few things, Halloween-y-ish, and I was just trying to find one. I meant to pull it up, and I forgot. Mike from St. Pete left us a ghost story. Remember I facilitated asking for some? And I want to, hopefully you can hear this. Let's play his ghost story to get started off on a spooky note for the Halloween extravaganza.
Hey, this is Mike from St. Pete. You were calling or you were asking about ghost stories on the last pod. I have one for you. I was living in downtown Tampa, the studio apartment. From 2009 to 2014, right before I bought my house here in St. Pete. And as soon as I moved in, I started noticing what I would call like shadow figures. Or what, it was actually one figure. And that's, you know, not something I normally would see coming from the place before that in Seminole Heights. I didn't normally see these things. And I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. Well, I just started dating my girlfriend that year, and the one I'm with now, and she said, I brought it up to her, and I was like, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm seeing, like, the shadow figure, and she's like, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm seeing that, too, and I get freaked out, and I just, like, stay in bed when I, you know, if she, like, gets up to use the bathroom at night, and I'm like, okay, so we're both seeing it, and she's not somebody who would believe in these and believe in that really. I feel like, I guess I'm a perceptive person, you know, what they would say is tuned in. Like I believe I could even do remote viewing. I've been doing that since I was a kid, or at least that's what I think it is. But, so I think anybody can do that though.
Mike, you got to elaborate on that. Please tell me when you've remote viewed. Call back and leave a message about that. I definitely want to know.
If you're perceptive and open to receiving that kind of thing. Well, anyway, a few months in, I mentioned it to my neighbor. I'm like, look, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm wondering if this thing is jumping from apartment to apartment. I'm like, are you seeing any shadow figure in your apartment? And he goes, no, but I will tell you this. Before you moved in, the guy that lived there hung himself from the ceiling fan in your apartment. And I guess he was going to go to jail for like pretty much the rest of his life. He was like an older guy and he was going to go to jail for like a long time. So I guess he just ended it. And it's a studio apartment. So yeah, it was a ceiling fan right above my bed. So, I mean, that was kind of weird to put all that together. Anyway, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Mike. Wow. That is very scary. I got to be honest, though, this is the first time hearing that. And my immediate reaction to that is that your neighbor was messing with you. Because how much did the neighbor weigh? I mean, to hang yourself from a ceiling fan, you know, you got one above your bed or wherever. I don't think they hold much weight.
I don't know. I know someone, and you know someone, actually, who attempted this allegedly.
Wait, actually, I do?
I don't care. This is not a HIPAA violation. This is just public knowledge, but Tuttle.
Oh, did he really? I didn't know that.
Attempted. He didn't succeed because he's still alive.
Yeah.
But, Tuttle attempted to kill himself.
Did it fall? Did he try to do it from the ceiling fan? Then the ceiling fan ripped out?
I'm not sure. All I know is that it was thwarted somehow. Either he broke it or something else happened. But he did attempt it. At least that's the legend. So,
well, I'm glad he did not succeed with that. That's awful. And happy Halloween, indeed, ever. Yeah, I don't think a ceiling fan's gonna do it. You had to do it from like where in your house would be a good place to do it.
How did Robin Williams do it? Like it was like a closet door or something.
Ceiling fan.
No. It was something where he hung himself and like had the door. Like choke him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you don't have to like hang from anything necessarily. You can like lean against it, you know?
See, with that too, I just feel like even I'm trying to think of somewhere in your house that would be good to commit suicide in. And I would imagine if you had some sort of staircase, maybe a second floor, obviously you could jump off the balcony tied to even if you got though the railing. I would imagine the weight from that would even, if you got a staircase, would just yank down and you would fall. Maybe you could do it. You weigh 8 pounds. But if I tried that 240, I'm going down.
You just break your legs.
My legs. Yeah, that would not be good. Yeah, I think you got to do the taking some pills or gunshot method or, you know, something else. Because I don't think hanging might be fake. A fake way to commit, you know, that act. I don't know how I'm looking around my place and I don't see anywhere where I could possibly do that from.
Well, you don't have a very hangable place to live.
But I've been in other places. All right, I'm picturing your apartment now and where you could do it. There's nowhere to tie a rope to.
Yeah, it'd be difficult here.
I think it'd be difficult anywhere. Even in the second floor, if you got the staircase there. And let's say you tie it to the staircase, you'd have to find like a stud really to get into or something like that. It would be a lot of work. I would just be like, this is too much work. I give up. Forget it.
Yeah.
813-693-2124 is that voice and text line, by the way. Happy to receive your texts and phone calls. I got a text from somebody who found the show recently and is now going back and listening to all of them, all 454. I think though that with RSS feeds that eventually they kind of reset like every year or two. I think that's the case, which I'm kind of glad because I don't really want my old episodes. I don't know what I said in some of those. So I'm kind of glad that hopefully they're gone. I mean, they're never gone. If you're on the internet, they're there somewhere, but, hopefully not easily accessible at the very least. It is Halloween. And I do have this story that Tampa, believe it or not, ranks in the top 20 of Wallet Hub's latest study of the best cities in the United States for Halloween. I don't know what Wallet Hub is, but it's something that everybody cites on every study. Oh, this, they must just do like these top lists of, you know, most expensive places to live, most fun, youngest places. This is just what they do. Tampa takes the 20th spot out of 100 for the most populated cities in America, according to the study. Wallet Hub considered a variety of factors when creating their list, including trick or treater friendliness, Halloween fun, and Halloween weather. Cities were ranked on the trick or treater friendliness with the considerations to population density, crime rate, vehicle versus pedestrian related crashes, perception of safety, and more. Halloween fun used metrics like average price of a Halloween party ticket via Eventbrite. Okay. Halloween costume and party supply stores per capita. We definitely have a lot of those. Farms and pumpkin patches per capita and the number of amusement parks in the city. Halloween temperature versus a location's average temperature, in addition to the amount of precipitation forecasted on Halloween, were also considered. New York was number one
for Halloween. I was going to ask.
San Francisco.
New York is number one. Well, it is a pretty spooky town.
Yeah.
There's all the addicts on the road just wilting away.
Number two, San Francisco, California. Another scary, scary place. Number three, Miami. Miami's okay. Four, Los Angeles. Extra scary. Five, San Diego, San Jose, New Jersey, Las Vegas, Santa Ana, California, and Boston rounded out the top 10. Orlando made 11, and Tampa coming in at number 20. I'd never see trick-or-treaters. I've lived in Old Northeast in St. Petersburg, which is right downtown. Pretty good trick-or-treating down there.
As far as I imagine.
Yes. Very rich.
Well, depends where in Old Northeast. But in the ritzy part of Old Northeast, I imagine they're whole candy bar kind of homes.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. When I lived down there, I would have to leave work early to make sure I got a parking space because I had to park on the street down there. And they would start to fill up real early because the little kids start, you know, at 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, some of them, their bedtime's 7, 8 o'clock, you know, sometimes even earlier than that. So the little kids would start really early with the sun still out. And then it would go all the way until the night until, you know, 10, 11 o'clock before it finally wrapped up. But this new neighborhood I'm in now, nothing, absolutely nothing. I will say I have seen quite a few decorations for Halloween. But not really a lot of trick-or-treaters. I feel like that's more relegated to places like the Northeast. And then people do like the trunk-or-treats. They used to do the mall. I don't think the mall is a thing anymore as far as going trick-or-treating. Is it? Do you know?
I never knew that was a thing.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Maybe it's a Florida thing because we used to go to the, like you would go just walk around the mall and you could go to
on Halloween night. Like,
yeah. And go to the shops and there'd be somebody, some representative there, and they would hand out Kit Kat bars and whatever, give coupons to their store, things like that. I don't know. I don't have kids now, so I don't really know really what they do. Trick-or-treating was always a lot of fun for me, though. Did you do that in California?
Oh, yeah. I was actually talking about this over the weekend when I was in Savannah, Georgia. And, you know, the girls were talking about their experiences with acid and drinking while in high school. And I was like, yeah, I was trick-or-treating until I was 16. Like, I was trying to...
Wait. Hold on a second. We never talked about this before. I don't think. I don't remember this about you. You were that kid that was the old trick-or-treater?
Me and my best friend at the time, whom you met a few times, we thought that we could just dress younger so that we could look like we were of passable age, maybe in the 12, 13-year-old range, because we were pretty petite. But we were 16 years old. We had our driver's license. We were such losers. Because to us, we're like, dude, free candy. This is amazing.
You don't even eat candy.
Our friends were like getting drunk and having sex, like cool people. We were trick-or-treating at 16. So when I hear all this, like, oh, you know, this person had, like, you know, anal, and this person is doing this, and the teenagers, I'm like, what? I'm like, I was such, I don't want to say I was coddled, but, like, kind of, I was sheltered in a weird way where I wanted to remain a child as long as possible, and my parents allowed it. So, yeah, Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
My God. I got to be honest. I think a little less of you today. You're one of my best friends, but this is troubling news.
Pathetic. Yeah. Yeah. Did I mention I lost my virginity at 24? Does it all make sense now? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you did mention that.
I was trick or treating until I was 16.
That's honestly, for me, and maybe this is just me thing, but I find it more embarrassing that you went trick or treating till you were 16 than you losing your virginity at 24, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's arguably worse. And here's the thing. It's not like I had a baby sister. You know, it wasn't like I was chaperoning a younger sibling. This is me and my best friend on the same wavelength going like, you think we could pass for like 13? Because free candy. What else are we going to do? I don't know. Get laid? No, not us. We were in AP classes.
Do literally anything else except trick-or-treating at 16. Because you don't even, I mean, I know you like candy, but back when you were 16, were you just like housing candy that you got from trick-or-treating?
Okay, I'm going to make a comparison that I'm not proud of. But you know how people, adults, many adults in Florida are Disney adults? And they have this obsession with Disney because it reminds them of their youth and it's somewhat nostalgic. Well, me and my best friend, we went trick-or-treating every year since we were like 4. So, and then after that, we would like trade candy, like stuff that children do. But we really just didn't want to let go of that tradition because it brought us so much joy in the past. So I think we were kind of holding on to that nostalgia. Again, I remember it being my last year because I'm like, this is pathetic. This is embarrassing because I remember going around my neighborhood and there were no other kids our age doing that, you know? So I think I was wearing like some sort of hat and I like pulled it down really low because I didn't want people to see me, but also not enough to not do it. Like I still did it. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was your last Halloween costume that you remember dressing up when you went trick-or-treating for the last time? What did you dress as?
We were freaks.
What's that?
we just got a bunch of like random clothes.
Oh, so you didn't even try. I mean, you didn't even try. You just went for I'm just going to wear goofy things out of my mom's closet.
Yeah, I had like a propeller hat and like, I was probably wearing like a jean jacket with like snow pants and maybe gloves or something.
Any resistance when you went up to these homes and they're like, there's some teenagers at the door wearing goofy clothes. I'm not giving you candy.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It was pretty bad. Pretty bad. And the year before that, when we were 15, we dressed up as giant babies.
Okay, I mean, so that's something. And you were a giant baby. I mean, literally.
Yeah, we had this matching onesies and, like, the big rattles and pacifier thing and, like, our hair and pigtails with ribbons and stuff. But the last year, we really phoned it in, and we were 16.
And you must have known, like, this is the last year. I can't even be bothered to get a costume.
I think there was a lot of shame, you know, when I was like, I think we're the oldest ones here, and kind of sunk in that it's over, you know, childhood is done. So.
Yeah. I don't remember my last trick or treat, but I think honestly, I didn't even dress up as anything and just kind of went around and was kids in the neighborhood being probably close to that age. But I think it was more like 13. It was kind of my last trick or treat.
There's a big difference between 13 and 16.
Yes.
But
there is. I think, you know, as far as trick or treating goes, there's classics that you want. I mean, candy, obviously. There's always the people that try to think outside the box a little bit. Bibles we got down here. You probably didn't get that in California. I think I remember getting a pocket constitution at one place. That's garbage. I didn't want that when I was a kid. And then there was like the really weird stuff aside from obviously toothpaste, toothbrushes, which can, believe it or not, I think serve their purpose as long as they're themed. Like you can't go just a normal
horrible neighborhoods where you trick or treating in where you didn't just get freaking candy.
Largo. my grandma's neighborhood, old people neighborhood.
Okay, yeah.
So that wasn't great. But I don't even mind really. I liked getting like theme stuff. Like if you would get pencils for school and they were Halloween themed, that was cool. If they had like bats on them, like in a bat eraser or something, I thought that was cool. Even toothbrushes and stuff, if they were Halloween themed.
No trading power.
I would use that. I would like, check it out. Halloween toothbrush, pretty cool. I mean, I guess maybe that was my nerd thing because I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, obviously you didn't want a million of them, but somebody that would go out of their way to do that. If it was just a regular toothbrush, if I could kill you, yeah. I would. You know,
maybe you could make the argument for a cool Halloween eraser because I was a big fan of like those thick, you know, whatever themed erasers.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But other than that, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Those were rare though. And like, I think I just got a Bible one time and a pocket constitution, maybe one time. This is Florida. Remember, in an old people neighborhood. Now I remember one year specifically as far as going trick or treating where, I went up to a guy's house and he was like, he had a bunch of plants outside. And apparently forgot it was Halloween. I don't know how you do this. You should at least be prepared with something. Like, just go get a bag of candy. I mean, everybody should just get a bag of candy. Especially in the 90s. I mean, 90s people were still doing things. You know, now I get it. You don't necessarily have to do that because kids don't really do this anymore except explicit neighborhoods or specific neighborhoods. But he goes, I don't have any candy. Do you want a sunflower? And he had these little cups with little sunflower sproutlings coming out, sprouts. And I went, I don't know. I mean, I guess. And he's like,
so you just have to hold, like, you have your pillow sack, your pillowcase.
Yeah.
And you have the friggin' flower you're holding all night.
That was a dilemma because I took it and then I was carrying the sack. And then I was carrying this sunflower and I only took it because I knew my mom liked sunflower. So I was like, I'll give this to her. This will be a nice thing that I can hand off to her when I get home. But then, you know, I'm like just started. I mean, this is going to be hours of having to carry around this sunflower seedling and
that bag is heavy.
It gets heavy when you're a kid. Yeah. I mean, I was like eight and I'm already annoyed at this point. And I think I asked my dad to carry the plant from my memory. And he said, no, it's your treat. You gotta carry it. And I was, so I'm trying to figure something out here. What do I do? Dad's being a dick. all right. I don't want to throw it away because I want to give it to my mommy. Okay. I'll just put it in the bag. I'll kind of just like sit it in the middle and kind of throw some candy around it to kind of make some sort of base to kind of hold it upright. Problem solved. So obviously I get home, there's just dirt all over my candy. The seedling's gone. It's in mixed with the candy. All the candy's wet. Saved as much as I could, but obviously some things were not savable at that point. And that was probably my worst trick-or-treating experience of all time. I didn't have this stupid sunflowers thing to give my mom. I didn't have any candy really for myself. That was
a really worst case scenario situation.
Yeah. You know, and you know what bugged me is I know my dad knew that wasn't going to work and he didn't even try to stop me. He just let me do it, which I get it. You know, you learn lessons in life and sometimes, you know, parents have to, you know, allow their children to make those mistakes. But on Halloween, I mean, I don't even know if I like the videos. I think it's funny now, but you ever see like the Jimmy Kimmel videos back when Jimmy Kimmel was actually kind of funny?
Yeah.
Where they would be like the parents eating they would say that they ate the chocolate and just getting the kids' reactions. And most of them would just be like, oh my God, and start crying. And then there was a few that you could just tell the kids were shaken to their core, but they were like, it's okay. It's all right. I love you. It's
like,
okay.
You're probably hungry, like the really sweet kids.
Yeah, they were just the sweetest little angels on the planet. And that was always fun to see. But yeah. You never had any bad trick-or-treating experiences growing up?
No, I mean, I think I just overstayed my welcome, but no, Halloween was great. Probably my favorite holiday of the year growing up. I loved dressing up. I loved being like, you know, just silly stuff. And even into college when the girls really took the liberty to dress like total whores, I really stayed true to the game. And, you know, I dressed up like a dreidel for 4 years. A dreidel was actually made for me my freshman year of college. And it ended up being, you know, such a wonderful gift in so many ways, because I single-handedly supplied the entire dormitory with alcohol my freshman year. Not that I bought it, but that I muled it in, because they bought tons and tons of alcohol from, you know, older siblings or whatever. And I had to meet my friend in the parking lot at the beginning of the night, whatever, Halloween, you know, Friday night, Saturday night. And they had four backpacks. And so I wore the dreidel out to the parking lot. This whole operation, take the dreidel off. Four backpacks were placed on me, front, back, side to side. Dreidel goes back on again. It's just a cardboard box. And just slowly walk back and went through. They had like extra security that night, but nothing serious. You know, this was like 05. You know, there was no like screening. It was just like, all right, are there any strangers coming into the building, you know? And everyone there is 18, so obviously nobody can drink legally. So once I got into the dormitory, I took off the dreidel, four backpacks filled to the brim with liquor. So I mean, I really was the sung hero that year, that I saved Halloween.
Your Judaism served a purpose, which I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because I wanted to get to another spooky subject just before we go. And it's more in pop culture. I don't really pay attention to pop culture very much, but you know, there's some things that are unavoidable. And I'm sure you heard about it too, which is Kanye West's statements about his name is Ye. Sorry. Ye West. Artist formerly known as Kanye West. He made some comments on, what was that podcast called? Do you remember Champagne Kings, Drink Kings, something?
Well, it started on Instagram when he started screenshotted a bunch of text messages between him and P. Diddy, I believe, is how it started. Then he got banned on Instagram, and then he just kept digging himself deeper into the hole. So he went on that Champagne Poppy or whatever. Yeah. Then he went on like Tucker. They edited that. Then he went on like Pierce Morgan. Then he went on Lex Friedman. He's just digging himself in a deeper hole. But it started with P. Diddy, text to P. Diddy.
Yeah. And that kind of came from the Fashion Week too, where him and Candace Owens came out in the White Lives Matter
deal. Yeah.
And that just caused an uproar. All the right people got mad about that. And, you know, I listened to Lex Friedman's podcast with him, the whole thing. You did?
You listened to all of it?
The whole thing.
I listened to a lot of clips, but not the whole thing. But okay. Go on. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Now, I'm glad that you at least heard some of it, because I wanted to kind of get your impression of what you thought about, I guess, the clips that you did see, because I thought Lex did a pretty good job of pushing back on him with some comments. Yeah. And I also think, honestly, it's kind of I'm walking on eggshells here, but I think it kind of got blown out of proportion a little bit. And let me just explain this first. My impression of Kanye West is he's obviously a very talented musician, fashion designer. He's found success in a lot of different avenues. And he's in a lot of categories of business where, like Hollywood and fashion, managers, he's dealing with people who maybe disproportionately are on the Jewish side of the spectrum, right? I mean, is that a fair comment to say that they're drawn to Hollywood and business and media disproportionately to the population?
Yes.
I think with him is he gets caught in, I think he's kind of a dumb guy, but he's very curious about the world. And he sees himself as an important figure, and he is to a certain extent. And I like the fact that he's thinking about helping the planet and helping the world and helping humanity. And, you know, in that world that he's in of entertainment, media, fashion, just pop culture in general, you meet a lot of scumbags along the way. Now, if you're in a business where you meet a lot of scumbags along the way, and there's also certain people who are disproportionately represented in that business, you're probably going to run into a lot of people of that creed. And then all of a sudden you start to recognize a pattern. and you get into this rut, and instead of just, it's not causation. What's that saying?
It's not correlation. It's not causation does not mean, correlation is not for a causation.
There you go.
Sorry.
There you go. So Lex did a pretty good job of pushing back on him, just being like, yeah, but you gotta, it's still just individuals. And you can get into the conspiracy online, and a lot of people have, where there's some sort of cabal going on where, you know, they just, I don't know, that the people run the world. I'm afraid to even say it on YouTube because I don't want to get banned, which obviously we know is nonsense. But you start to, that's what people do. They recognize patterns. And if you don't have a particularly high IQ, you kind of piece it together and be like, I noticed this one thing about the people that I'm dealing with. Ergo, draw the conclusions. I'm going, what did he say? DEFCON 3?
Means you have low IQ. I think that if any stupid decision is made, it's voicing the fact that you're noticing a pattern. Mm-hmm. So it's really not so much that he's necessarily wrong, but in polite society, and it goes beyond polite society, because maybe he says like, hey, these people are doing dirty business, and then someone else takes that as liberty to say like, you're right, let's exterminate them. I don't think Kanye West is Hitler. You know, do I think his comments are particularly nice? No. Am I offended by them? Of course not. I don't care what he thinks. Do I think he's trying to ignite a second Holocaust? No. But I think he's saying things that are, you know, careless. And as we all know, Kanye West is a provocateur, much like he's a fashion designer, a rapper, music producer, former billionaire, whatever. He's also a provocateur. Not so much. And again, I would say I disagree with you on the point you made earlier. I don't think that he wants to save the planet or that he cares about other people. I think at least every interview that I've seen of him, and especially the Lex one, because it's fresh because I just saw it. And again, I saw probably about a third of it, so I didn't see all of it. But it seemed like any time that Lex was trying to bring up a point, it was always like he couldn't grant the fact that other people had suffered before he immediately turned it towards himself and the things he wanted to talk about. So when Lex brings up the Holocaust, he's like, well, you know what was also a Holocaust? Planned Parenthood in black neighborhoods. So it's like, dude, like, can we just focus on the issue at hand here and talk about the severity of the Holocaust without you trying to pivot to something else that you feel like is more relatable to you and your black experience or whatever? So that was kind of frustrating. But he's also insane. And I was very confused for much of it with the whole, I'm not Jewish. Yeah. I was just like, what?
Well, that's the black Hebrew Israelites point of view.
I know, but I've never heard that's different from Jewish. Maybe it's my bad. Maybe I'm not, well-read on that subject, but I've never heard someone say I'm Jew, like, I've never heard that. I've heard like black Israelites. I've heard of, the Ethiopian lost tribe of Israel. Sure. But even he said, no, that I'm talking about, I'm an Orthodox Christian. I'm Jew. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
It's kind of like this midwit, like, oh, we all come from Africa. So ergo, we're all, African.
Jewish.
And you go, but it's the same logic. It's nonsense. Obviously,
okay, but I was not following at all.
Yeah, that's kind of what I get. I just feel like he's okay. Maybe he's not an idiot or low IQ, but he's not the brightest bulb either. And he thinks he is, which those people are dangerous. Who think that they're very smart, they're actually either midwits or kind of dumb, which is even more dangerous. They think they're smart. He's obviously an egomaniac. I didn't get the impression that he was mentally ill. I much like you, half my family's Jewish. I didn't find anything super offensive about what he said. He's entitled to his opinion. And I don't believe that words beget violence either, just on principle. That's nonsense too. That's something we have to get out of our heads. But there's a reason why, people are getting shut down for saying, just about anything now. I mean, there's things that were totally normal a few years ago that I feel like, oh, this is YouTube. I better not say explicitly. I got to find a way to get around saying something without saying it, which is just Orwellian on its own. But I don't know. And he posted a video too of him saying, "I love Jewish people," and then he's with rabbis. So I don't know. I think he's trying to save it now, and it's just too late for him.
I think he is mentally ill. I think he's always had like classic narcissism. Again, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I definitely think he's narcissistic to the point where it's detrimental to his life. And I also think that he may suffer from some form of psychopathy. And I think if, again, I don't know him, but it seems like throughout his career, even before he was big time, he always had this sense of this aggrandized sense of self, this self-entitlement. And I think that all of his success has validated that he is correct.
Yep.
So someone who thinks that they're amazing and that they're a genius, and now other people are praising him and telling him he's a genius. You're a musical genius. You're the best rapper. You're an incredible visionary fashion designer. You're all of these things. And he's accomplishing all of these things that he's claiming to be. So it's not like this is like coming out of his behind. You know, this is clearly something that he is succeeding at, which to him is evidence that, yes, I am God. I'm Jesus. I'm what, the second coming of the Messiah, whatever. He's, all of those thoughts are being validated by the entire planet. So of course he's insane. He walked in insane and then was just validated by everybody telling him he's amazing, or going to his concerts, buying his music, what have you, becoming a billionaire, you know? So I think that, you know, and then you also have to think on top of all of that, an insane person who's unstable, going through a public divorce with a woman who's openly having sex with his wife or ex-wife, and she's openly talking about his member and his BDE and all this sort of stuff, and she just wants to get laid and effed, and like, think about what that does to a man's like ego, and someone who's already unstable, who is having to go through this very public divorce where everyone's calling him crazy, and now he has to see and hear things about his wife having sex like in his home, in his bed. Like, that can't be good for your mentals. Like, so, you know, he's going through a lot. Not that I have sympathy for him, but I'm just trying to explain, or, you know, try to explain to myself a possibility of why he's acting out the way that he is.
I think it does have to do with him thinking that he is, you know, he brings up a lot of these powerful figures, Tesla, Elon Musk, like he'll just put tweets out like that. And he kind of considers himself, you know, lumped in with those people who have done, you know, crazy things, you know, to help humanity.
And he has. And no one, I don't think anyone can take that away from him. Like, he's accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. So, I mean, it's kind of like you said, it's kind of validating just by his own success. And he is. I mean, he just is. It's hard to deny. But I don't know. I didn't get the feeling that he's mentally ill by any of his interviews. I watched the Tucker Carlson one too, and I saw the clips that were edited out, and those were just boring, I thought. I know Vice labeled him as, "This is troubling." And there was, I mean, everything else was on Lex Friedman's podcast, the stuff that wasn't edited. And, you know, with Tucker, I don't know if there was some sort of thing where they were trying to say that Tucker was like covering for him or something. And maybe, but also they're short form. They got commercials to air. They have to edit like podcasts. That's a great thing about, you get the long form conversation where you don't have to edit anything out and you don't have to have ads.
Do you don't think they selectively edited things? I mean, I saw what he was saying about Jews, and that didn't make the interview, the Tucker interview.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean,
it's possible.
Yeah, of course it is. Like,
and that could be just, you know, you can't say certain things on, especially network television. They made him take down that podcast. He did the original one. And they did. And that's why it's so good to have, you know, long form conversations that aren't censored. Right now, where you can kind of go straight to the horse's mouth and listen to his own words. And I don't know. I feel like with him, He's trying to figure things out. He's making connections, and it's probably misplaced.
Why do you think there's a mental disconnect? Like, why do you think those are the ramblings of a sane man?
I think they're ramblings of a kind of a dummy, more than mentally ill. But he's a curious dummy, and he probably considers himself one of these great, you know, men of history, and in some ways he is, but I wouldn't consider his philosophy to be one of those things that he's great at. Definitely,
I mean, narcissism is a mental illness. It's in the DSM. Like,
yeah,
psychopathy is. Someone called into our show today and said that he had a lot of like word salad, which is a symptom of schizophasia, which is like a form of schizophrenia, where you're, you know, hyper paranoid about things. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, and I don't know him personally, so I can't really say. I think he's got a few loose screws. I don't think he's like pure evil and he's like a danger to society. I just don't understand. I don't understand his end game, I think, you know, because I was thinking about that today. I'm like, what is his end game? Does he think that is he following the Andrew Tate blueprint, where he thinks that if he can just get canceled from everything, it will blow him up even bigger? Like, is that the goal? Because that's what Andrew Tate did. And it worked. Like, he got it canceled from everything. Guess what? Went on Tucker Carlson. Guess what? Went on Piers Morgan. Guess what? Was doing podcasts with like Patrick Bet-David on Valuetainment. Was doing all these sorts of things. And he was like this persona non grata. But then everybody wanted more of him because he was like, you know, he was
dangerous.
Demonized. Like, taboo. He was taboo. So I'm like, is that what Kanye's doing? Because Kanye is already that level. But I guess when you've like achieved everything, you know, you're at this point, he's just going for like legacy, despite the fact that he says he wants to be forgotten. I don't know if whatever that means, but you know, at least while he lives, he's going for legacy. I want to be a tycoon. I want to be an icon. I want to be, you know, whatever, really a shaper and a shifter of culture, that sort of thing. So I just don't know. I'm like, what's your game plan? Like, I don't care if you say things about Jews, like whatever, but what are you thinking you're going to get out of this? Are you trying to stay true to the game? Like, I'm just being honest and I'm not going to be censored and no one's going to censor me. Is that it? Is the Jew hill really the one you want to die on? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? I don't understand.
I don't know either. I just feel like he's seeing a pattern and he's like, this is weird. I'm going to call it out. I'm going to use my influence to call it out. And you can go down the rabbit hole, the slippery slope of this will eventually lead to some sort of violence, and maybe it will. I don't know. Like, if you don't like him, just don't buy his records. Don't buy his clothing and say, oh, I don't like that guy. He sucks. And, you know, I don't understand this push to just deperson people for bad opinions, because a lot of people have bad opinions. Everybody has bad opinions. Many of them we spout out on this show weekly. So,
but you also agree that like companies like Adidas have the right to not do business with whomever they please, right? Like,
yes, unless it's a lot of times, though, I see these companies getting outside influence from other people, other powerful people.
Well, of course, but if it's effing with the money, then typically it's the right decision for a business, which is trying to make money to go. That's the direction it should go. So I don't think it was a bad decision that Adidas dropped them. They're like, we can't have this guy associated with us. Like, this is not good for our business. So
I've had it thrown around that I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was saying that he thinks that maybe this was intentional on his end, so he would just get dropped from everything and then become fully independent, and then he can kind of do his own thing at that point, get out of all his contracts. And
I would appreciate that, because then that's an end game and he's thinking.
I don't. I just don't think he's that that smart. But I don't know. Maybe he's got people around him that
maybe he's got his Jew posse telling him, listen, buddy, you want ultimate freedom?
Yeah.
Start from scratch. You know, don't align yourself with these big companies who kind of push you in whatever sort of creative direction. So
yes. Well, you know, anti-Semitism is very spooky, and I'm glad we got to talk about it on Halloween. I made this pumpkin. Or I didn't make this pumpkin. Someone made this for me.
It's very cute.
It's adorable. Snow baby pumpkin. Anna, thanks so much for your time today. I was excited because you said that you were going to actually be here in the studio.
I know.
And I was hoping we could get dinner afterwards, but that's okay.
Oh, man.
Your fault.
I'm sorry. I'll probably still have a gimp leg next week, so we maybe could do it then, possibly.
Mayhaps. We'll see what the haps is. I got you a microphone. It doesn't work, of course, for the second time in a row. So hopefully we'll get that remedied in the near future. And Anna, I'll send you off. Good luck with your leg. And any Halloween plans? What are you going to do for Halloween?
Go trick-or-treating.
God damn. Damn you, Anna Hummel. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for tuning in. I certainly appreciate it. Please spread the word and tell people Will's YouTube, Will's podcast, .com. Both of those end in .com. And of course, hmbradio.com, homemade broadcast radio, HMB radio, all one word. Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. Leave your comments down below. What do you think about Kanye West? Any Halloween stories, ghost stories, embarrassing trick-or-treating stories, anything like that, leave in the comments, or you can leave us a voicemail, 813-693-2124. I appreciate Mike from St. Pete doing that and taking time out of his day. And have a happy Halloween. We're going to do this. Ending music. Sounds good. What else? I think that's it. I pushed it too late. I should have pushed this earlier. I just want one file. That's what I'm working on. Check out the other videos. Check out the other podcasts. And I bid you adieu. Will Koontz, HMB Radio. On RadioSaintPete.com and HMBRadio.com. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.